We talked about that window of worship and how that window of celebration and how that David worshiped and his wife looked out the window and was ashamed of his worship and made a mockery out of his worship. But yet his worship showed and her mockery of his worship showed what position they were in, that she was on the inside looking out or on the outside looking in. She thought she was on the inside looking out. She was the one in the palace and he was the one in the street. She thought she was on the inside looking out. But when it came to the things of God, she was on the outside looking in. I'm glad that I'm on the inside of this thing. I know what it's like to be one of his, not a stranger to the things of God. And I'm thankful for that. And we talked about the joy that there is in moving near to the Lord. And it really was the theme also of our Wednesday night studies, and has been the theme of our Wednesday night studies. And this past week we talked about knowing God, as we've been, it was our sixth part in our sermon series on knowing God, or getting to know God better, if you will. And we talked about on Wednesday night how to describe the land. For those that have never been to Canaan, we want to describe the land, make you want to go. It's a good land. The Lord has promised it unto us. And then this morning, we're talking again about these windows again. This past week was windows of behavior. This week we want to talk about windows of blessing. Daniel chapter number 6, and stand with us if you will, we'll read the word of the Lord together in Daniel chapter number 6. The windows of blessing in verse number 10. The word of the Lord says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." It said, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. Now, as we looked this past week at the windows of behavior, today I want to see the windows of blessing. Now, we all know the story of how that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And when he went to his window, he opened it towards Jerusalem and prayed and began to seek the face of the Lord. Now, he's in the land of Babylon, and my friend, there he begins, as he begins his prayer, he opens up the window of his home and looks out towards Jerusalem and thinks about the Lord and the house of God and the promised land and all the blessings that there was in being a part of things back home, and yet he's far from home. And he'd open his window towards Jerusalem, and he did so with a spirit of thanksgiving for all of the blessings of God. You notice what it said? It said when he knelt and prayed, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. All this time while he'd been praying, every time he'd pray, he'd bow down and give thanks toward the Lord. Now, we're going to see in just a few minutes that Daniel didn't have going for him all the things that we've got going for us. And he was not in a good position. And most of us would have looked at him and said, Daniel didn't have a whole lot to be thankful for. And yet every time he prayed and opened up his window, he gave thanks before God. Too many today have become like the children of Israel in Isaiah 1:3 when he said, "The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." I want to tell you, so many times we go to pray and to fill with blessings in our lives, and yet for some reason we come before God with a wish list of all the things we want, and we forget to thank Him for all that He has already done. And I praise His name. I believe we ought to pray with a spirit of thanksgiving. I believe we ought to live with a spirit of thanksgiving. I believe, my friend, we ought to worship with a spirit of thanksgiving. The Bible begins to tell us about how, my friend, that the people's hearts were darkened in Romans chapter 1. And of course, I'd get started preaching on that thanklessness. Preaching, that's a 2-hour sermon all by itself. But it tells us in Romans chapter 1 how that the Bible, when the new God, He said, when the new God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. And it talks about how they chased after their own flesh. And men
men with women, and women are men with men, women with women do that which is unnatural and unseemly. I mean, they began to go off, my friend, into all types of perversion and ungodliness, and it began when they got unthankful. When they became unthankful, it led to all of these other sins. The Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy, I believe it is, in chapter 3, there's no also perilous times to come. He goes on to talk about all the traits of that day, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. One of the things he mentions in there is he said they will be unthankful and unholy. Amen. When we get unthankful, we're headed towards being unholy. And so Daniel begins to pray, and he prays with a spirit of thanksgiving. He knows where his blessings come from. And so this morning I'm preaching on the windows of blessing. He opens his window, begins to pray, and thank God for his blessings. And let us again, as Daniel, open the window of our lives, look toward heaven, and thank God for his blessings on us. Amen. I want to say in our text verse here this morning, first of all, that there is blessings of prayer in the window. There are blessings of prayer in the window. I'll thank God that prayer itself is a blessing. Man, I'm going to tell you, you may not can preach and sing and do a lot of things, but I can pray. I talked to Sister Pam, wanted her to sing that song. She don't bring the CD on purpose, I don't think, sometimes has it with her. But I love that song. I got her to sing. Went and bought CD for it and everything. She still won't bring it to sing. But I love that. I can pray. Brother, I'm going to tell you, you realize what that is when the Lord of heaven has bestowed upon you the gift of an open door to his throne room, an open invitation where any time that you can find your place in a moment of prayer and forget this world and the things of this world, that you can talk to God and God can talk to you. That is such an honor. Thank God I can pray. I can't control everything. I can't straighten everybody out. I can't fix all the problems in the world. I can't straighten out the government. I can't straighten out the family. I can't straighten out the people at the job. I can't even straighten you out. I sure can't straighten myself out. But thank God what I can do is I can pray. Thank God. I'm glad I know what it is to pray and know God hears me and feel that on the inside, the blessed confirmation from the Holy Ghost that I've been heard of heaven and that God is going to act on my behalf. Thank God I can pray. Amen. And in our text, out of the book of Daniel in chapter number 6, Daniel begins to pray. Now what's he praying about? He's praying about them fellows making a law that says he can't pray no more. Boy, tell him, bless him. They said you can't pray. Daniel said, man, I better pray about this. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, Brother Freddie Waldrop said, they can lock you up and shackle your hands and feet and even cut your tongue out, but they can't stop you from praying. Amen. I can pray, and there ain't a thing in the world that the world or the devil or anybody else can do to stop me from praying. I can pray, and I praise his name for it. Daniel prayed, and when he went to pray, now everything's in a mess, but yet when he went to pray, he still opened up his window, and the first thing he did was begin thanking God for all his blessings. Somebody said, preacher, I'm thanking, but I'm in a mess. Well, Daniel was in a mess, but he's still thanking him. I'm telling you, if the Lord never did anything else for you than what he's already done, especially if you're saved by God's grace, you couldn't thank him enough for what he's already done if he never did anything else. Amen. I mean, we've got a blessing of prayer in the window. He'd open his window and begin to pray. Now listen, Daniel, I'm going to tell you a few things about him this morning. And then we want to move on to the second point. Daniel was a man that was in a strange land. First of all, Daniel was a man that was in a strange land. But just because he was in a strange land did not mean he couldn't pray. Amen. Oh, that's right, isn't it? Daniel 1 and 3 says that Daniel was captured, when Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem, and he was brought to Babylon to taught how to be a Babylonian. I want to say we too are strangers here. The world wants to teach you to be worldly. They'll say, when in Rome, do as the Romans. I've got a problem with that. I'm not Roman. Amen. I'll not fit in with this world. I'm not in lockstep with this society. There's something different inside of me. Maybe like Moses, who was raised in Egypt, yet his mama would bounce him on his lower lap and say, son, you're not an Egyptian. You're a Hebrew. And when he was come of years, he counted greater the riches of suffering with the people of God than the great wealth and pleasure in the land of Egypt. Amen. I want to tell you something. We're in a strange land, but we still can pray. We still can pray. We can still pray. Oh, the world wants to teach you to be worldly, but purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with the king's meat and drink and all the things of this world. At Daniel, they wanted to teach him to be worldly. Instead, he wanted to teach others how to be godly. And he prayed three times a day. The remainder, many of them that went with Daniel in the captivity, have said in Psalm 137, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We've hung our harps on the willow tree. A fast-growing tree, the harp's out of reach. It's a weeping tree, a crying tree. And they say we've lost our harps in the willow trees. And our pride joy is past. But Daniel said, I may be in a strange land. And I may be in a Babylonian world. But I've still got a window. I've still got a place to pray. And I'm still going to thank God for all He's done in my life. Amen. That's where we ought to be. There to be a Daniel. Amen. Blessings of prayer in the window. I want to say Daniel was in a strange land, yet Daniel prayed. Daniel was separated from his family, yet Daniel prayed. Daniel didn't have his mom and dad gathering around his bedside at night, just a young man, maybe just a teenage boy it would seem, maybe something like that, adolescent years, when he's taken from the land of Jerusalem and taken to be captive and to be taught how to be a Babylonian. And he didn't have a good mom and dad and a family together around the family altar together and read the blessed word of God and pray. Yet Daniel found him a place all by himself. And there he prayed. He was just a boy, but the lessons of home have stayed with him. His parents and friends were not there to watch him, but he did what was right anyway. You boys and girls, look up here at me. I'm preaching to you now. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying. When you get off in the schools and my friend and I are on the ball fields, or wherever you are away from mom and dad, that's because they're not there to crack you and my friend with a belt and to try to watch over you and keep you straight. Does not mean you're supposed to turn loose and turn into my friend some sort of savage. I'm going to tell you, hey, behave like you're still at home and remember the lessons of home and live right when nobody's looking and do right when nobody's around. Are you hearing me, gentlemen? When you're out of town on business, you ought to live like you do when you're at the house. Hey, hey, ladies, when your husband's not there, encourage you to pray and to seek God at night. Maybe he's a driving a truck. A lot of our men truck drivers. Maybe he's a working out of town. Maybe he's not there to pray with the young ones. Would you take the initiative yourself to lead the family in prayer and to do what's right when nobody else is there to watch? Amen. There's blessings in prayer in the window. Amen. He's separated from his family. He's in a strange land. I want to say he was in servitude to sinners. He was in servitude to sinners. The wicked Babylonians were in charge of him. Man, he could, hey, some folks said, well, preacher, I'd live for God, but you know them fellows down at my job, so wicked and so mean and so rough, and there's so much sin going on around there. It's just hard to be a Christian in the line of business that I'm in. Hey, listen, friend. Well, I'll take a little stab at myself. I'm an insurance salesman. You don't think it's hard to be a Christian in the line of work that I'm in. I'm going to tell you, buddy. But I want to tell you something I've learned long years ago. If you'll be obedient and follow God, you'll find blessings in the Lord. Hey, Daniel said, hey, I'm not working for Christian men. I'm not surrounded by Christian people. There's not a crowd of brethren around me holding hands, having prayer and devotion every morning. It's just me and God and the old devil and everything of sin and the world all around me. And yet he found himself with the window open all by himself between him and the Lord. And Daniel prayed, and he prayed. Hallelujah. Separated from his family in a strange land in servitude. Daniel was without the support of a local church. Daniel was without the support of a local church. You ever thought about that? I mean, hey, friends, sometimes it seemed like all week long wrestle with the devils out of hell and everything in the world goes wrong. Yet if I can just make it to Sunday, if I can just make it to Wednesday night, if I can just make it to revival meeting, if I can just get among the brethren, if I can just hear the preaching of God's word, if I can just help the choir and the congregation sing a Amazing Grace. Seemed like everything's all right. Daniel never had the privilege of the support of a local church. Yet Daniel still could pray. Amen. Daniel was without the support of a local church in servitude to sinners, separated from his family in a strange land. Daniel was saddened by the new law that passed. Daniel was saddened by the new law they had passed. You see, they passed a law that nobody was to pray except to the king of the land of Babylon. Oh, no, Daniel, my friend, he was discouraged and upset and bothered by this thing. It broke his heart at the law that they had passed. I want to tell you something, friend. We're surely living in a sad world where our government is corrupt and evil, and the sin rages amongst our government. And though they lock you up and toss the key for mistreating a dog or, my friend, an animal of sorts, and yet they're slaughtering our babies in abortion clinics across this land, and nobody wants to say anything about it, and it's absolutely legal and condoned, and I'm surely saddened by the laws they pass, and yet, my friend, I can still pray. Hey, the government can't get so crazy, and society can't get so rough, and the world can't get so full of sin, that God's people can't pray. Amen. There's still a window of prayer. There's still blessing to be found in a sweet hour of prayer with the Lord. Daniel was saddened by the law. He was surely saddened by the law, but I want to say he wasn't swayed by the law. Oh, amen. Just because they said, don't pray, Daniel didn't say, well, they passed a law that we can't pray, so now I guess I'll just quit praying. My goodness, I'm telling you, we got some of the weak-kneedest, weak-mindedest people I've ever seen in my life in this generation. They said we can't, so we just can't. I want to tell you something. You can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens you. You have got to wait on Uncle Sam's approval. You haven't got to wait and read the averages on the Dow Jones Industrial. I'm telling you, my friend, if God says you can, then you can, thank God. Amen. He was saddened by the law, but he wasn't swayed by the law. I want to say he was struggling with the culture. I mean, here's amongst the Babylonians. Here's right there in the middle of them. Here's in the middle of the palace. Here's in the middle of all the wickedness of the wicked, the leaders of those evil people. He was a Hebrew in a Babylonian world. He did not fit in, nor did he desire to do so. I want to tell you, that's where we are. We're Hebrews. We're sons of Abraham. We're children of God in an Egyptian and a Babylonian world filled with sin and wickedness. Hallelujah to his name. And a real Christian out of lockstep with this society. But thank God when the world says no, and when the devil says no, and the world says you don't fit in, I'm so glad God says open the window and let's talk a while. Open the window and pray a while, and I'll hear you, and I'll help you when nobody else can. I praise his name for that. Amen. He was struggling with the culture, but he found solace in a window of prayer. He found solace. No matter what else changed about him, he found help in a window. That window of prayer, as he prayed, he knew God listened. It is a sweet hour of prayer. Amen. A sweet hour of prayer. Blessings of prayer in the window. And then I want to say We're talking about blessings in the window now, or windows of blessing, if you will. But there's blessings of prayer in the window. I want to say, secondly, there's blessings of potential in the window. Blessings of potential in the window. Malachi chapter number 3 and verse number 10, the scripture says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I wonder this morning how many blessings, how many potential blessings are missed because Christians are disobedient to God's commands. I mean, in this passage of Scripture in Malachi 3 and 10, the command was that they were supposed to be given of their tithes and offerings and being obedient to God. Now listen, the tithe is the tenth part. It is the first fruits, the Scripture says. That's off the top, if you will. One fellow said, should I tithe off my net or my gross? Well, if you want net blessings, tithe off the net. You want gross blessings, tithe off the gross. Amen. And so it is that he said it's the first fruits before anybody else, before anything else gets their part, that's the Lord's. By the way, you don't give your tithes. If somebody said, well, if you give your tithes, I just don't have my money this month to give my tithes. You see, that already belongs to the Lord. It's just a matter of making sure that he gets what's already his. And so it is, he said, bring that tenth part. But that was not the end of it. That is only the beginning. He said, you rob me in tithes and offerings. You see, that offering is that part that is above your tithes, above that part that already is the Lord's. And you have to pray and seek God's face and to find, my friend, his will. And he'll deal with your heart as what you are to give according to your ability. And then God will bless you for it. For he loves a cheerful giver, the scripture says. Have you ever wondered how many potential blessings are missed just because people are disobedient to the commands of God? Now, we're talking about tithing right now and offerings and giving and so forth. But I wonder in the rest of your life how many potential blessings are missed because people are disobedient to the commands of God in your life. Isn't that right? I mean, we're slothful servants. Maybe we're, my friend, unfit stewards of the things that God has given us. How many potential blessings are missed because of disobedience to the command of God in our lives? I can't tell you, Brother Cole, at the times that I went down to the nursing home just trying to be a blessing to somebody else and went down and visited them little ladies trying to be a help and a blessing to them. And when I left out of there, the blessing was not theirs, it was mine. And now listen, how many blessings would I have missed had I been in disobedient to the command of God? I'd gone my own way and been lazy, lackadaisical, and not tried to be a blessing to others. I would have missed my own blessings potentially coming back again. How many times have I preached when I didn't feel like preaching at all? I mean, matter of fact, there'd been a lot of times I preached when I knew if I did preach, it was going to be right back like it was beforehand. I thought I was doing better, and I knew I wasn't going to be doing no better as soon as I got done preaching again. Amen. That's exactly right. Boy, I'm telling you, I mean, get so sick you feel like it had to get better to die. And yet here it is Sunday morning. Sonny says, why don't you get somebody else to preach? And I say, well, I guess that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get somebody else to preach. Even call them and say, well, I tell Brother Matthew a lot of time, call them and say, hey, be ready just in case. Just in case. I just don't know how I'm going to feel in the morning. Just be ready just in case. If I can preach, I'm going to preach. But if I can't preach, then I'll turn loose. You be ready just in case. I don't guess I've ever thrown you in there on just in case, have I? You be ready just in case anyhow, because you don't ever know when I might get that away. But my friend, just get up. Doesn't matter how bad you feel, how you're coughing or sneezing or snorting or carrying on. I'm telling you, friend, just keep on. If the temperature's 102, 103, 105, I've just preached on. Somebody said that's crazy. You see, I know there's a potential there I'm going to miss out on if I'm disobedient to God's command. Going to miss out on it. I don't want to miss out on what the Lord has potentially for me just because of my lax attitude and disobedience. Amen. I want to be found faithful. He said, be found faithful in death, he'll give you a crown of life. There's a lot of folks don't miss out on some crowns because they've been disobedient in the commands of the Lord. Ain't that right? They're going to stand before him and want to hear him say, well done. He can't say, well done, because you ain't done well. Amen, that's right. Hey, missing the potential blessings of God because of disobedience in our lives. How many blessings, how many potential blessings are missed because Christians are disobedient to God's command? I'm going to give you the setting of Malachi chapter number 3. We're going to finish what else we got here tonight, if Lord help us, because there is no way. I've got at least another 30, 45 minutes left. When I get done with this, preach to you, and I got to get done in a hurry. And so I'm going to give you the rest of this. Don't you go off here and say that preacher said he's going to preach on blessings and all he preached on was tithing and giving. I've got some more tonight if you'll come back. Amen. Maybe some of that stuff is more palatable to your taste buds tonight if you come back. Hey, that's exactly right. Now let me tell you about Malachi chapter 3, the setting of this passage where we have blessings of potential in the window. That Lord said if you'd be obedient, I'd roll the window of heaven down, turn it up on its side, and dump out a blessing on you, the likes of which you won't even know what to do with. Now that's a paraphrase. Hadn't still go with the King James Version, but that's a paraphrase. I don't believe it'll stand up to the scrutiny of a proper interpretation of the word of the Lord. And surely it's right. The Lord will bless you when you're obedient to His command. What is the setting of the passage? Well, according to the Scripture, the setting is such that the men were backsliding. I mean, this is a chapter on the judgment of God on sinners. And the reason it was written to Israel is because of the sinful ways in backsliding from the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 7 through 9 says, even from the days of your fathers you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall return? In other words, what's our problem? So the Lord begins to tell them what the problem is. You say, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Even this whole nation, the people had become wicked. Therefore, they had become wanting. I want to say it'll work the same way in your life. You cannot live like Lot and be blessed like Abraham. You cannot live like Lot and be blessed like Abraham. May I say, friend, when you get wicked, then you'll become wanting. You can't live in wanton wickedness and expect the blessings of God on your life. When you live in rebellion to God, you'll not enjoy the blessing bountiful hand of the Lord. Does not work that way. Amen. The people have become wicked, therefore they had gone wanting. God was sorely displeased. When they got into deep sin, they also forgot God. They were selfish men who cared neither for God nor man. I want to tell you, that's where a man is today. He's a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. He's in love with his own ways, his own self, and his own self-interest, and his own desires, and his pleasures, and his toys, and his vacations, and my friend, his four-wheelers, and his rifles, and his guns, and his big houses, and cars, and recreation, and not in love with Jesus. And we say we're saved, we say we're our love of God, and we say we love the Lord, yet our lives testify that our lives reside somewhere else. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. Selfish men regarded neither God nor man. Men were backsliding. May I say that that's where we are today. Men have backslidden on the Lord. Even churches have put in precedence puppets instead of preaching. Workshops instead of worship. Amen. I'm so sick of seminars instead of sermons. Give us a man of God that'll preach in the power of the Holy Ghost. We put everything else in place of the Lord. We're backslidden. They need help from God in this generation. Oh, they missed the potential blessings of God in the window because they were backslidden. There was men that were backslidden. There was mercy yet for the believers. Amen. Boy, I'm glad. Thank God. Listen, hey, I can get up and preach on backsliding all day long and preach on people are doing wrong all day long. And if there wasn't no way to get right, then it sure would be a mess. Now, wouldn't it? Matter of fact, wouldn't be much need to preach a whole lot just backsliders if there wasn't a way for backsliders to get forgiven and get right. Now, wouldn't there? But I'm glad there's mercy for the believer. There's mercy for those that will trust the Lord. Verse number 6 of Malachi 3, he says, said, for I am the Lord, I change not. Now, what are we supposed to interpret that? He says, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The only reason you haven't already been burned up, consumed, and have been killed off is because I'm the Lord. I change not. My mercy endures forever. I'm a God of grace and love. I tell you, there's mercy for those that are backslidden. You may have missed out on the blessings of God. You may have failed in potential areas where you could have had God's help. But I'll tell you, thank God, there's still a chance to get it right. Come to God, let Him help you, bless you, touch you. There's mercy for the believer, friend.
You can get that thing right. When they got deep into sin, they forgot God. But He said, I'm the Lord, and I'm not man. I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Were you to treat man the way you treat God, there'd be a great price to pay. But the Lord is long-suffering, and He has not changed. In Hosea 11 and 9, He promises mercy rather than judgment, because in His words, He is God and not man. I tell you, He's merciful unto us. His mercy endures forever. There's mercy for the believer. Well, I'm glad of it. Now, maybe those of you that's been doing perfect and good all these years, that don't mean much. Those of us sorry rascals that seem to find ourselves come to the Lord about every day or two and saying, Lord, I've done it again. There's sometimes, it's many times the same thing that we did the last time, and come and saying, Lord, I've done it again. I told you last time I'd never do it again, but here I am. I've done it again, and I ain't never going to do it again. The Lord has mercy and forgiveness. And 3 days later, we're back saying the same thing. Lord, I've done it again. I said I wouldn't, but I did it again. And He has mercy again and again and again. The reason why that the Lord could tell us to forgive one another 7 times 70 is because He forgives again and again and again and again. Well, I'm glad of that. I praise His name. If He didn't, He'd done thrown me away a long time ago if He didn't just forgive again and again and again and again. Be a tender-hearted. Hey, you know what the scriptures read that you read this morning, Brother Jim? Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There's mercy for the believer. And notice what He said, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed. He didn't say the whole world. The promise wasn't everybody now. It's to the sons of Jacob. It was to the family of God. Amen. I want to tell you something. Some of these days, there's mercy. The reason why sinners ain't already in hell is because of the mercy of the Lord. But there's going to come a day His mercy on sinners is going to run out. There's mercy for the believer even in the day of judgment. But there ain't no mercy for sinners on that day. There's going to come a day when mercy is going to run out for sinners. Well, you better get in the family of God is what you better do. Can you imagine missing out on heaven simply because there's one thing you would not do? When the Holy Ghost dealt with your heart and He says, will you go with this man? You would not be obedient to the command. That's all it takes to miss out on heaven.
That's right.
You can tithe, you can come to church, you can sing in the choir, you can wave your Bible and scream bloody murder every time the meeting gets on, and I'm telling you, still go to hell if when the Holy Ghost deals with your heart and says, will you go with this man? If you refuse that one command, that's all it'll take to keep you out of heaven and miss the potential eternal blessings of the Lord. He said, if you'd just be obedient, I'd open up the window in heaven. I'd pour out a blessing on you, the likes of which you wouldn't even be able to receive. I wonder how many potential blessings we've missed because of disobedience to the Lord. Men were backsliding. Mercy for the believers. There was missing were the blessings. Missing were the blessings. Verses 10 and 11. There was a great potential in the window of heaven if the people were only obedient to God. I wonder this morning, I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop right here. We're going to come back tonight now. We're going to come back tonight and talk about some more of this window. We're going to talk about protection in the window, the blessing of protection in the window, and we're going to talk the blessing of provision in the window. That's the stuff you wanted to hear, so you'll have to come back tonight to get that. I wonder this morning concerning what you needed to hear. How many of those blessings potentially are you missing because you won't be obedient to the Lord?
Now's the time to open the window towards heaven. Like Daniel, get on your knees. Seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Get some help from God and change it this morning, that tonight your life might be different. Would you stand this morning if you would come with a song? I wonder today who needs to pray. I used to ask when I got done preaching if anybody needed to pray. I know better than that. God didn't send this sermon to entertain you. Somebody needs to pray. So now I wonder who it is that does need to pray. I wonder sometimes if everybody would be like me. You wouldn't even have to give invitation, because it seemed like every time the man of God preaches, I need to pray. Now, you may be more spiritual than I am, and it don't hit you like that. It seemed like every time the man of God preaches, I need to pray. I mean, got issues in my life I need to deal with. And I want to be near to the Lord. I don't want to miss. I want to be a candidate. I'm a candidate for everything God's got in store for me. And I want to miss out on anything that the Lord has for my life. I wonder today, do you need to come? Do business with God. Potential blessings in your life missed because of disobedience. Would you come? Make a change today. Let's sing. You need to come pray. I wish you'd come. Would you come today, do business with the Lord? Be obedient to God. Maybe not been out in gross sin, but Lord, I knew to do good. To do it not is sin, and I'm missing out on the blessings of God because of it. I want to be obedient. I want to be drawn near to God. I don't want to go wanting because I've gone wicked. Oh, God, help us. Would you come do business with the Lord?